This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com. Go to Squarespace.com and make that fantastic website you've always wanted. Try their awesome tools out absolutely for free. No credit card required. Just sign up, see what you like, play around with the tools. And if you decide to stick around, use the code INSTANCE11 at checkout. That'll save you 20% off any plan at Squarespace.com.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hi, this is Russell Brower from Blizzard Entertainment, and you're listening to The Instance.
Well, hello, Russell Brower. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, because we want to, all right? Just back off. We want to make one. It's episode 348. I'm Scott Johnson. What is the date? Friday, November 15th, 2013. It's PlayStation 4 Day, if you care about such things. Mine's coming. Should be here in a couple hours. Joining me today, Dills. What's going on, man?
Scott.
Let's
just say our names like that for the rest of the show.
Dills, what do you think about that?
Sounds like you're suspicious of something of me. Dills, was it you?
If it really is your name, but it's like it's an old-timey 40s era suspicion. It's not like current suspicion.
Exactly. Could it have been Dills?
Yeah, in the kitchen with the steak knife. Welcome back, everybody. It's our post BlizzCon episode, which is always a bit of a letdown. I'm letting you know now.
Oh man, so there's nothing going on.
I feel like we're gonna have a hard time topping the epicness that was last week, but we'll endeavor to do our best.
Well, Scott, I have a surprise for you.
What's that?
Ghostcrawler, come on!
Oh, no, he's here again. Oh gosh,
Horde side.
Oh, it's the wrong one.
Horde side.
There he is. Welcome back, Red, to the show. It's good to have you back.
That'd been pretty epic, though.
Him and Russell being there was just amazing. And I said it last week at the top of the little preview thing at the top of the show, but I'll say it again. They were gracious guests. They were surprise guests, which was also nice. But they came and they laid down the awesome, and we are extremely thankful. And episode 347 of the instance will go down as one of my favorite things I've ever done. So thank you guys for being a part of it. And it was good to have all three of us there. Terpster's not here today. I don't know where he is. Been texting him all morning. I don't know what's up. I hope he's alive and over his jet lag, which surely he must have after this couple of whirlwind months for him with a lot of travel and stuff. So I don't know what's up. But he'll pop in if he can. We'll see. Who knows? We'll just jump ahead and forge our path the best way we know how. I'm a little tired because we raided last night. And the problem with raid, Dills, is this.
The problem with it?
Well, the problem is for me, we raid on Thursdays, which is actually good for me because I don't have an early morning show on Fridays. I have this as my first show. So I can shift my life about an hour forward on Fridays, which means just a tad more sleep. But for whatever reason, I found raid so stimulating last night.
It was very stimulating.
I had a hard time sleeping after.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know, so wait, did you get gear too? Or
I did. Like, I got that same trinket you got.
You got the same trinket. Yeah. Okay.
And you ended up with the crossbow, which is nice because you had that blue piece of shit for who knows how long.
I did. I know. We had, now basically we have the same gear, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think we're about equal. Yeah. So it's one thing I've noticed about Flex is it is a lot. I feel like it's a lot easier to kind of everybody stay pretty equal after a couple of weeks of raiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hard to get big disparities because you're not getting lucky with rolls.
Well, if you think about it, the way the percentages work out, you really just have to kill a boss like five times and you should have the piece of gear right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is about, I think that's about right. I mean, it sucks to have to kill a boss for 12 straight weeks or something and never get the piece.
Yeah.
That you need off of it.
We've both been there, dude. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I raided ICC for months and never got the stupid trinket until everybody else had the trinket.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
That killed me, man.
Yeah, I remember that. No, you'd lament.
Yeah. It was just really difficult to deal with the fact that, like, we had 25 people and there was, like, 8 people ahead of me in line for this trinket. And it's like, that's the only thing I need.
Yeah.
That so sucked. Then it's just keep coming, and never getting it.
Loved ICC, but Dill's never getting his trinket, and there was always a couple other weird things.
But this way of doing it, to me, feels much more pleasurable because it's not like, oh, you got it because I lost the roll or what, like, which creates this weird kind of competitiveness between you and the other hunter in your group. Now it's just like, hey, I got something, you know.
Well, I noticed that it's funny. This last week, okay, so let me start by saying, isn't that going away, though? Aren't we getting back to rolls with Flex?
Yeah, I think so.
And so here's the deal. I've been trying to disseminate all this BlizzCon information and finding it kind of hard to retain every little nook and cranny, so I've focused on the stuff that matters most to me, but I kept hearing mentioned here and there something I didn't hear on stage, which was this idea that Flex would be returning to a straight-up roll system again. And I don't know if I like that. Again, I'm not 100% sure I read that right or where I saw it, but somebody last night, Raid, mentioned it again, and I went, oh, yeah, that. I don't know if I want to go back to that. I kind of thought this was a fun new direction. There must be a reason.
This is working for me, man.
Maybe they don't... maybe they have data that suggests that getting loot is less exciting because now you're just getting stuff and you're bonus rolling on it, which I guess you can do the other way too. But you know what I mean? Like they're not, maybe the feeling of, ooh, I just got something awesome is lessened by the fact that, you know, you've got your own little personal average going. And
Sure. Yeah.
I can see that maybe, perhaps if that's the reasoning, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to ask around and see what's going on with that. But anyway, I raided last night. That was a blast. I was really looking forward to that more often than most. And I'm having that experience that often happens with BlizzCon, whether you go or you don't go even. Just the sheer amount of information and excitement and visual and everything else has got me all peaked with all my Blizzard games again. And I actually found myself, when I got home, playing everything. I played a little StarCraft the other day.
Yeah.
I played a little Diablo the other day. Played WoW. Hearthstone, of course. Heroes of the Storm was here.
Some Hearthstone.
A little bit, yeah. I just got in there and dinked around and some stuff. I've got to get back. I feel like I'm off. That wipe kind of took me off the wagon. Mm. It put you on the wagon maybe harder than you'd been on the wagon before.
Oh, yeah. Well, what it did was it refunded all my gold and just gave me like a never-ending well of arena runs.
I kind of had this thing where I went, I don't know what to do now. Like, I kind of don't want to... Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm, like Tom Merritt said at the event, he said, I'm wipe shy, he said. Mm. And I think he's concerned that even though they said they're never going to wipe it before release. That
no, they're not.
He doesn't
not.
Believe him.
Yeah, nope. Yeah. Don't worry.
There's still that little fear, though. That little thing, you know, back in the background says, hey, what if
they can't say that and then do it again because they can't. That's something you can't go back on.
Yeah, but I've signed a EULA from those guys before, and there are sure a lot of things they could screw me over with.
I know they could, but the backlash would be insane.
Yeah, it'd be a real bad PR nightmare.
Yeah.
Worse than the flying mount stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. Mm-hmm. A quick reminder to folks, we haven't had a chance to really pound it into people because of the way BlizzCon landed and all these other episodes have been a little bit strange, but we're up for a podcast award at podcastawards.com. And it is in the video game category. We're actually up against another Frog Pants show, the final score. So there's a little fun rivalry going on there. But go and vote your conscience and preferably vote for the instance. I'll say the other show when I'm on it. But go there, vote for us. We'd love to win it. We're going to be there in Vegas in January to accept awards, hopefully. And it's not the only Frog Pants show. The Morning Stream is nominated in two categories. Film Sack's in there. Oh, gosh. Coverville's in there. Sword and Laser. The list goes on. So vote and vote away. Today's your last day. Many of you already been doing this, so we really appreciate that. Final day for voting is today, the 15th. So get it in if you can.
Get it in.
So there's an open Hearthstone tourney tomorrow. I assume you're all up in that, yeah?
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I haven't been able to get into any of these Hearthstone tournaments, so this is perfect because it's a Saturday. And it's going to be happening like Saturday morning, so
that's great.
Should be good.
Who's involved? Who's involved? This is a big deal with like a lot of the popular dudes.
Team or? Liquid stuff. So it's open tournament. All you have to do is just go and sign up. I think it's like $25 for first place, something like that. Right. Doesn't really matter, but it's not about that for me. It's just about doing one of these tournaments and seeing how. Because I play pretty much Arena all the time.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to try to move into the constructed world a little bit, but there's a lot of people who've been doing this for a while now. Yeah. And so I need to,
Constructed's about to take a bigger role anyway.
Oh, it will definitely. And it, you know, it already kind of is, because I think there was a lot of, just because of Trump and Crip and some of the bigger streamers doing pretty much exclusively Arena. Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of people saying, "Oh, well, that's the best way to play." And early on too, it kind of was the best way, right, because of the fact that you, that was how you got rewards, you know?
Right.
So a lot of people were doing pretty much that just to, you know, kind of get cards going. But now we're starting to see, especially after that, that tournament at BlizzCon, that Constructed is, I think it's going to be a big deal. And
yeah, I think so. And Blizzard's renewed focus on Constructed for, you know,
yes,
for content and stuff is a huge part of that. It's going to motivate
It's necessary for the game to reach that kind of, actual esport competitive status, is that this needs to be a big deal, because this is how you do a tournament.
Yeah.
They really need to put like a tournament mode in there so that someone who's running a tournament can like use those tools.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty insane.
Yeah.
But the way this one works is basically I have three decks. So I'll go in, and it's going to be a best of three until the finals would be a best of five. Mm. So I just choose one deck. If I lose, I choose another deck. And they're not recording any of it because, you know, they can't.
Right.
So if I stream, which they suggest I do, but on a delay,
yeah,
then they'll pull my VODs if I get to the end.
Oh.
And then they'll use those. So, but there's like, there's going to be like 100 people, I think, in this thing.
That's
so
awesome, man.
It's going to be tough.
I want to see how this all turns out. We've been talking about a Frog Pants tournament for a while. And all your Hearthstone needs can be found over at The Angry Check-In. You guys did a great episode at BlizzCon. If people haven't heard that and you're interested in more, you know, deep, dark, dirty Hearthstone secrets.
Yeah.
The Angry Check-In.
The Angry Chicken is the place for that. Yeah. This is probably the last I'm going to mention of Hearthstone today.
Probably today, yeah. So, you know, it's a place for us to talk. There's always this eggshell thing with Hearthstone whenever somebody freaks out that we're talking about it. But guess what, folks? Part of the ecosystem. It's going to get mentioned. And that's how it goes. But the deep, deep stuff, The Angry Chicken with Garrett Weinzierl and our own Willie Dills Gregory. Check it out
and
now.
And Jocelyn Moffitt.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I keep forgetting Jocelyn. You know why? Because she wasn't there at the thing.
She
wasn't
there at BlizzCon.
But
yeah,
it cemented you two in my head. And I got to quit doing that. It's a fantastic show, though. And I love Jocelyn. So listen, it's great.
Definitely. Check it out. And Twitter at TAC Podcast.
TAC Podcast. TAC Podcast. Very nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to the big news while we're sitting here thinking about stuff.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week this week, brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. It was really great seeing Clark at the event. He does a lot of repping for those guys, and is always a nice reminder that they are there and ever present. DoghouseSystems.com, making the best gaming rigs of the year. Forget about next gen. Forget about that PS4 I'm getting today, which I kind of have to for work. You know, I got to have one. I got to have a new console to talk about on TFS. But really, if you held a gun to my head and said, Scott, here's a PS4, here's an Xbox One, and here's your gaming PC, I'm going to kill you unless you pick one of those and get rid of the other two. Mm. I'm going with the PC, dude.
Yeah?
Of course I am. First of all, we're going to play WoW. But second of all, I got the indie scene, the AAA scene, all this stuff is just so rad on PCs right now. And everything runs better. Good. Everything's faster. Everything's great. I love it. And I can't say enough about them. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Perfect time of year to get someone you love a brand new doghouse, a desktop, a notebook, whatever you want. But make sure when you go there at doghousesystems.com, use the code Henry at checkout and get double the memory for using the code Henry. That's the name of my cat in World of Warcraft, in case you were confused. That's doghousesystems.com and the code Henry. All right. There was a bit of a stink thrown up by this flying in Draenor not till 6.1 or after level 100 thing that broke. As far as I know, I haven't heard any other instances of this. No one else has confirmed or denied that this was said in any panels or anything, but I believe Greg Street dropped the bomb in our live episode, and then it kind of exploded from there. Let me play Greg's original statement for some clarity. Okay, so somebody had gotten up, asked the question about transportation in the new expansion, and this is what he said about that.
My question is just, what's the transportation thing going to be like? Are we going to be able to fly in the new zone? Or I'm good with it either way. It doesn't matter.
don't kill him.
Don't worry. We're not going to, yeah.
We want Draenor to feel scary. It has a lot of, like, if you remember Fellreavers walking around Outland.
Yeah.
We want giant Gron, and if you saw the Bone Town, this huge skeleton of a giant that the Thunderlord orcs have built their houses in, and so those things will be walking around too. We want it to be a dangerous place, and the world is much less dangerous if you just get on your bird and fly to the next spot. So we're going to delay it as long as possible. We've even talked about delaying it past level 100, like maybe patch 6.1 or something.
All right, says we've even thought about, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say this is a done deal. So, yeah. This is as of then, all right? So now let's jump ahead a little bit. So Twitter explodes, blogs explode, comments, forums, everybody's freaking out saying, well, I'm unsubbing. And lots of, you know, rage-filled flame out, you know, hyperbole from probably a limited minority of players. It's hard to say because who knows. But a lot of people saying, well, thanks for giving me the one reason I needed to get out of this game. I'm done. I'm out. And my mind,
weird,
it is a little bit of a weird weird reaction, especially if you consider the fact that he was saying, yeah, we've thought about this. We're not really sure, but we want to delay it. And they just did this with Mist. You couldn't fly till 90. That was the deal. Mm-hmm. You couldn't fly in Wrath of the Lich King until 80. That was the deal. Cataclysm was widely criticized as a problem, that the fact that you could fly in all that new content all the time. And you mentioned before the show, you made a really good point. Well, that was because the big deal with that expansion was Azeroth was now a flyable zone or a flyable set of zones. And so they kind of had to give you your reins and let you go. But that's an example of one where they didn't make you wait, but previous to that, BC made you wait when they were introduced. Couldn't get that stuff till 70. So I don't know what the big freak out was, or at least at the time I didn't quite understand it. But then there was a lot of confusion back and forth as to whether or not what he said was true. Like, if you hit 100, is that enough? Will it truly be 6.1? And the Blues posted something online that says the following. All right, so swallow this one whole, if you'd like. We intend to follow... Let's see. Sorry, let me back this up. We intend to disallow flying while leveling from 90 to 100. And have flying become available again in the first major patch of Warlords of Draenor. So essentially, they confirmed that what we thought was just, maybe we're going to do this from Greg, is in fact what they're going to do. They're going to delay it. Their intention is to delay it until the first major patch, I assume 6.1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some have said, we talked about last night in Raid, if this patch cycle for this new expansion is as fast as the previous one, the Mist one, then it could literally be, what, a week or two after launch of the game? I don't know how likely that is, but that's one scenario people are talking about. But outside of all that, forget about all this, like, well, how can we hurry it up, or what's the quickest way from A to Z to get our mounts flying again in this one particular zone, mind you. It's not the rest of the game. How do you stand on this? Like, where do you fall on the side of, are you pissed? You can't fly?
Nah.
Don't care.
I'm good, man. I don't want to fly. I think it's a great limitation to have at the beginning of an expansion, because what happens is if you fly, you just fly over all the good stuff. You miss it. Mm-hmm. And they've already said, like, there's going to be some amazing things on the ground. And they understand that, this is why it's not a worry to me, is because they've said all the right things about what that means, which is... you have to be able to discover cool things on the ground, right? You have to be able to feel like you're exploring uncharted territory, or else, you know, you will get bored. But mm-hmm. that's clearly the direction they're going. Yeah. So
probably there's probably a reason why a lot of MMOs, most other MMOs competing in this space, do not offer flying mounts. Very rare do you see this. Guild Wars 2 doesn't even have regular ass mounts. So there's a reason, there's a design reason these guys don't do this. And this is not our attempt just to straight up defend Blizzard. I think they,
I honestly feel like I don't understand why people are even upset, because of the fact that this is kind of the new way of doing things. Like, okay, we added flying in, but we put these gates into flying so that, you can, you know, see the content the right way we designed it.
It's either a time thing, a cost thing. Like, there's some, you're right, there's a gate there for everybody.
But also to make flying something special. You know, it has to be something that you kind of feel like you earned. Like, I finally got my flying mount. Like, it's awesome. Like, that type of thing is pretty important. And They can't just get rid of that.
I got a good metaphor for you. So last time I was in New Orleans, and listen, this is not me offending people in New Orleans, okay? I love you guys. You guys are all great. Whoever you are, if you're living in New Orleans around that part of Louisiana, don't worry about it. This is a generalization. But last time I was in New Orleans, we were in some pretty scary parts of that town, okay? And this is before Katrina that I was there last. So not talking post-Katrina stuff. So kind of a hard place to be, a little bit scary. People stumbling out of their front doors with trying to grab a needle out of the grass that somebody threw out a window. Just a lot of weird drug stuff and shady business going on around me. Now, I noticed, Dills, while I traveled through those neighborhoods, scary as hell. Kind of freaked out. And I had people with me, and I was like, I don't know if I want to take my wife through this part of town or whatever. Mm-hmm. Got in a plane, flew over New Orleans.
Nothing looks scary at all.
Yeah, it looks like little toy cars. It looks like I could reach down and play. It's no big deal. And if I had to live my life in New Orleans where I could fly all the time and just pop into the 7-Eleven and pop right out straight up into the sky, that's how I do it. Because otherwise, you're going to die. So, point being, in a video game where they've created a bunch of content that is supposed to be meaningful, interesting, even difficult, you want to be able to face that stuff straight up instead of being able to just pop in, cherry pick, and get out. Yeah. And it was a real deterrent of enjoyment for me in Cataclysm. I think it was to that expansion's detriment that they put that in there.
And it's going to be eventually that you will be flying, so it's not like this is going to be the way it is forever. It's just, you know, level through the content. Play the game.
Right.
The way that the game's designed to be played through this portion of it, and then when it's time to just like be like, oh, I just got to run over there and grab whatever, right, then you will be able to fly. So it's not forever.
Right.
I don't know.
And you can hear
to me, it's
the problem is I can hear the voices crying out right now from mostly people trying to gather mats and farming stuff and, you know, profession. People are really into their professions. They're going to be the ones that are the least happy about this because at 100, potentially, they could go weeks, maybe months, who knows. Running around trying to get to a mining node and have to kill 50 mobs to get there when they know full well if they could fly, they could just drop down behind those guys and grab it. To play devil's advocate, I can kind of see that end of it. I can see that particular complaint more than I can some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong, but won't this in theory, let's say, okay, let me back this up. There's a node and it's the middle of hell and you got to get past a bunch of stuff to get there. Because of the work it takes to kill those mobs, kill any respawns, kind of pay attention to all that stuff. And let's say these guys are all level 100, so it's not like they're easy to kill. And it takes time. Do you think that affects the economy? Stuff goes for more money on the auction house because it took more work to get it?
At the beginning, yes. I mean, at the beginning, the economy is always going to be kind of inflated a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because all that stuff is hard to come by. So yeah, that you will see that at the beginning, but then it will even out. So
yeah, it's always like that at the beginning, I guess a little, but I just wonder if difficulty of access will affect that at all.
Yeah, possibly. But it was difficult to access this stuff in Pandaria too, and
Yeah. You
know the economy reflected that. So it's just part of the process. And
also feels too early. Doesn't it feel too early to rage quit? Like we're too early in this process.
Yeah.
So many things change. I remember the original item squish or number squish was supposed to happen by miss and they skipped it. But
this is going to happen though. We're going to see, plenty of rage quitting for like a long time.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, you're always going to, and then what I feel like is probably what happens. And this is totally just, I'm just pulling this out of my butt. But I think probably what happens is people threaten the rage quit, maybe stop playing for a while and then come back and play anyway.
Of course,
like
they
will. People who are like are so worked up about this game, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to leave the game.
Right.
You know, I honestly feel like this expansion is going to be the one that's going to get back over 10 million to 11 million somewhere in that range.
Oh, interesting prediction.
I think it's going to happen. Yeah.
Let's watch that.
I really do.
I don't think anyone's going to ultimately quit over it. But if I have to read one more tweet that says, "Hey Blizzard, why don't you just admit you hate flying mounts? Just come out and say it." Like, no, dude, quit it. You're like the guy who walks up to his buddy in a club and goes, "Dude, do you even work out?" Like, shut up,
bro. Do you even lift?
I can't even. I can't talk to people like that. I'm done with those. I'm done with that. Here's another thing they said just to sum this up. Flying isn't really being taken away. It's still there in all other places you've earned it and gained it. All of those mounts you have are still usable. You just won't be using them in Draenor, at least to fly with. Until a little later, while you'll still be able to get in at some point. We plan to make travel via flight paths as convenient as possible and make being on the ground worth it via discoveries within the world, which is how I like my WoW. So for me and for Dills, F everyone else. I understand where you're coming from.
Get out of here, everyone else.
I will entertain the argument from people who have to actually, who a huge portion of the game is working at gathering mats, building stuff, engineering, whatever they're doing. That I kind of understand, and I could see why you'd be concerned. But don't coat yourself in a thick layer of hyperbole and then run through the mall naked. Just relax for a minute. Let the game come out. Let's see what's what.
Yeah, and again, too, if this is the biggest problem in World of Warcraft for you is the ability to fly, like maybe you should go play World of Warplanes or something.
Yeah, like, that looks fun, actually.
No? But I mean, like, for me, like, flying was never like the end-all be-all of WoW. Like, yeah. It was cool, and it was like, oh, cool, I can get to that other place faster. But then I land and I do stuff.
Yep.
And I like, do stuff on the ground.
I like doing stuff.
Yeah.
Doing stuff is not just popping in, popping out.
Now, that being said, I like getting on my flying disc and popping around real quick.
But, sure. You do now.
And eventually.
You do now. But when you were in Miss, you were enjoying the journey. And then you hit 90 and you went, all right, next phase of my journey is I'm a flying guy.
And then I paid a whole bunch of gold and then I was flying again.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen have you checked out any of the SWTOR dogfight?
Oh, dogfight stuff looks cool.
I need to pop in.
They killed all my character names, those guys.
What?
Yeah. Did you ever get that email that said, hurry up and get in here and save your character names because we're chucking them? I thought it was pretty shady, actually. I didn't like that.
I hope if I got it, I missed it.
Yeah, it sucked. I don't know why you would do that. It's real simple data. I think it was used. The problem I have with it is not so much that there was some technical reason. My problem was I think they used it as a carrot to get you to come back and pay, or, you know, play their game. And that bugs me. So
put
me off to the point where I was like, well, I'm not doing that. Sorry, guys.
Strigo says I lost my damn name and I was a founder. So wait, did they take away the founder title too?
I think they take away all that.
God.
I know. I am not 100% on that. We'll have to ask, maybe Pell knows more. I know he's still playing. But yeah, I don't know what's going on over there. But yes, those dogfights look cool. And maybe I'll play that dogfight mode with a character called, you know, Monfredo, because GURP got taken back, you bastards.
Just log in and just be like, my name used to be awesome. That's my new name.
Actually, Monfredo's not bad. Maybe
Monfredo's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've been asking Monfredo, though. Well,
right. We have more details and clarification about Mythic Raid difficulty. They emerged over the week. And this is pretty interesting.
You mean Mystic Raids? I thought you were talking about...
Oh, yeah, you know, the Mystic Raids, right? Didn't they say it wrong a couple times on stage?
Like, it's one. You know what? There's a pizza place down the street called Mythic Pizza. We always call it Mystic Pizza.
That's
like,
funny.
Oh, man, you guys want to get some Mystic Pizza?
Well, the name Mythic stuck in my head, and I haven't had a problem with it because I used to play Dark Age of Camelot a lot, and those were Camelot a lot? That sounds terrible. Anyway, the company was Mythic. They got bought by EA, and now I think they do nothing. They made Warhammer, but now what do they do now? I don't know what they do. I don't know what those people are up to. Anyway, Mythic, Raid, difficulty, Emerge. Here's an example of some key factors worth bringing up, is what they say in this blue post. And I think these are interesting. This change is coming with an expansion. Historically, an expansion release has always been a volatile time for guild rosters and a great time for recruitment. When everyone's gear is suddenly equalized, the pool of potential recruits swells dramatically. Makes sense. Number two, on a similar note, we are continuing to roll out the Connected Realms feature. As more realms are connected, the potential recruitment pool for those realms will grow. Yeah, but are those really guilds? Isn't that mostly just like, I don't know. The server merge stuff, the way they're doing this is weird. And I don't feel like
it's not as easy to recruit. Because currently, like, let's say you go into, like some forums, right? So the Blizzard forums for your realm, and you say, "Hey, I'm looking for dudes."
Right.
The people in that other realm that merged with your realm aren't necessarily going to know that that's, you know.
Right.
And yeah, you can like go out and say, hey, we're recruiting in trade or something.
Right.
And everyone will see that. But that's pretty much the only channel where it collides.
I agree.
So I don't know. That's not necessarily like, yeah, guess what? You're all good. There's plenty of ways to recruit now. Like, doesn't seem that way.
Well, this is where the math gets weird. So, because we're going to this 20-man deal, 10-man guilds, this is the third point, 10-man guilds who want to do Mythic will need to pick up an extra 10 people. Current 25-player guilds will need to shed some. That's yet another thing that will lead to a higher pool of potential recruits. That's an easy thing to say, and yes, mathematically that makes sense, but I think they're kind of missing a point here. 25-man guilds are going to have to, they won't shed people necessarily. You can still have your guild of 25, but you're not mm-hmm. going to run with all 25 of you for Mythic difficulty. So,
well, you can't. So
you can't. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, to do this, well, sorry, Bill, your DPS sucks. So you sit over there while we go play and have fun. Well,
sorry, Carl, you're a douchebag. Yeah. Get out of here.
After a while, douchebag Carl's going to get tired of it and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying this simple math does not account for the emotional outburst,
emotional stress.
Yeah, that this will happen. This will surely cause some guilds are going to have this problem. Now, the 10 to 20, that's just an issue of recruiting. But again, I feel like they've roboted this third point, and they have left out the feeling, the human side of this particular exchange of people. But we'll see how that goes. And then their fourth point: flexible scaling for heroic or misappend areas normal. Difficulty will allow many guilds to ease in to a 20-player raid size. Granted, if you're planning on zoning into Mythic the first day it's available, this won't help you much. But for the guild that will spend a few weeks or months on Heroic, MOP normal again, difficulty before eventually clearing it and starting on Mythic, you'll have plenty of time to expand your roster. What's more, those new recruits won't be expected to just warm the bench while they wait. Yeah, I'm a little worried, honestly. Their explanations are fine. Everything's fine. I'm a little bit worried that it's just confusing. That's all.
Well, it's odd to suddenly change the size of things like that. Mm-hmm. It is odd.
Yeah.
And it is gonna throw some wrenches in some plans. But you know, they threw a wrench in everybody's stuff already when they went, all right, it's not 40. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's 25. Sorry.
I don't know. It's.
I remember those days. People lost their poo when that happened.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, again, it's one of those deals. It's like the world's not always going to be the exact way it was once. It's going to change. So yeah,
it's not 2004 anymore, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just kind of have to deal with the fact that, you know, that's part of the deal now.
Indeed. Let's see. Recruiter friend choices are nice. You can see all these. Now you get a choice. You can have the some of the previous rewards, the rocket, the zebra thing, the other stuff, or that brand new, I always want to call it a Gryffindor. Is it a Griffin? What is it? I say Gryffindor, even though I know it's a house in Harry Potter. Anyway, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, the Gryffindor. Yeah.
The Gryffindor, right. It's sure. It's the, you know, it's that or the Black Panthers or something. Anyway, whatever. It's it looks great and it's cool and they're giving people some nice choices and the pets are now multiple pets to choose from and you can read all about it.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm glad that there's more than one thing to because not everybody likes the same stuff, you know, so that's kind of cool.
Makes sense. Give them a choice. And let's see what else. Quick movie thoughts. So we didn't talk about this at the panel or the show last week when we had Greg and Russell there, but I meant to bring it up. There's two things I want to bring up. One, the funniest thing that happened at the con, in my opinion, personal funny thing, was when I went up to the press room with you,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up running into Terpster while we were up there, I believe. And the three of us went into the play area, and you and Terpster sat down at the Hearthstone on iPad display.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you didn't sit down and go, ooh, and rub your hands together and start playing Hearthstone. You both sat down, unplugged the demo units, and used those plugs to charge your iPhones. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. It just made me laugh. Sat down, unplugged it, plugged in their phones and started charging it. That was epic. I wanted to get a picture of that so bad.
Well, I mean, we've been on the con floor all day, so it was like the perfect opportunity to finally get a little phone charging in.
That's right. I loved it. It was great. And nobody said nothing. None of the people that were patrolling.
It's totally normal.
Like, whatever. Those iPads are totally charged. It's fine. But anyway, the second thing that I noticed about this con was a lot of excitement leading into it about the movie, what Zoe Bowie would say when it got up there, what they would show. And so I made a decision and said, I'm going to go to the panel that had that. And I'm not going to the Hearthstone tournament, even though I want to. I knew you'd go there, so I knew at least we'd get coverage on it. But I was, you know, thinking, well, this is the sacrifice I'm going to make because I really want to know what's going on with this movie. And they're going to show something awesome. I just know it. Are they going to say something or leak something big? And man, was that the most disappointingly empty panel. And it's not that, you know, he's up there. It's great to see Duncan Jones and it's great to see these producers and it's good to see Metzen talking. And I'm excited about the story. They did leak what the story's about. It's Durotar and Uther. No, not Uther.
Yeah.
Uther? Who's...
Well,
not Uther. Not Uther Lightbringer. Who am I thinking of?
Oh, well, no, chat room. Uther and Arthas. Yeah.
But... No, Arthas. There was no Arthas. Lothar, thank you.
Lothar
okay. And Durotar. So early story.
I didn't watch any of this.
Yeah, you missed this whole thing. Or Durotan. I keep saying Durotar. Durotan and Lothar. Yes. So okay. Early stuff.
Lothar of the Hill people?
Yes. Anduin Lothar. Exactly, okay. Skyfire. So... That was the big, you know, the only real leak that we got. Other than that, it was a lot of, we can't talk about that. We can't say right now. I'm not allowed to tell you that. And they showed a little bit of concept art for some like environmental stuff. And that looked really neat and all. But nothing in the way of any kind of real information about who's been cast. What characters are these different cast members going to play? You kind of have to assume because they gave us the basic two characters. But in the end, not even the Comic-Con trailer teaser thing. And I'm not saying the Comic-Con video is indicative of the final film at all because we know that isn't. That
it's
was more
not,
proof of concept.
Yeah,
but nothing,
weird
that, man. Zip. Yeah.
It's Zippo. Weird that they got something at Comic-Con and we got nothing at BlizzCon. That is very strange.
And that place was packed like... to the brim with people, but by the end of that thing, people were like, "I'm going." Like there was
people
just wasn't
were incredibly excited to hear what the story was with the movie. And then it's true.
I understand there are other powers. Really there's other powers at play here. It's not just Blizzard deciding what to hold back. There's you know film companies and huge financial things at stake and all of that stuff. They didn't even address, at least that I know of, and I didn't hear it anyway. They didn't address the fact that they had originally picked a release date that was. Then that we then found out the Star Wars was going to get released on, and they didn't even really talk about that. They're going to have to move that. There's no way, dude. You don't put your Warcraft movie up on the same weekend as your Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Not a damn chance. Exactly. If that doesn't change, I'll eat my hat.
You know what I just realized, Scott?
What's that?
While we're doing this show right now, I just realized today is Bat Kid Day in San Francisco.
What the hell does that mean? What's this?
You don't know about this?
No.
So Bat I'm Kid? Sorry, this has nothing to do with World of Warcraft.
That's all right. I'm dying to know what this is. This is crazy.
There's a Make-A-Wish Foundation wish that they're doing for a kid where they're turning San Francisco into Gotham City for one day.
Oh, no way.
And this kid is going to basically run around and pretend to be Batman.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are people like staged in places to like be crimes he has to solve? And
yeah, no. So he's like, I think there's something where he's going to like chase. He's going to chase the Penguin at AT&T Park, and he's going to do all this stuff and then save somebody at the end.
That's great.
Yeah, but I got to go to like I think it's Civic Center or something like that at like 2:00. That's where it all ends.
Oh wow!
So yeah,
10,000 people signed up. Says Epic Diapers.
Yeah, exactly. And they put out like new versions of the. The newspaper says Gotham City on it and stuff like that. It's
That's so
everyone's
cool,
getting
man.
Into it.
Ah, that's everyone's great. That's totally it. Cool. Yeah. It'll be just like three hobos and won't know what's going on.
They're gonna be like, what's happening?
What's happening, man? What's going on, man? That's great. That's very cool. And
I just remembered that's today. So
awesome. So you're gonna go be at least see the end bit or whatever.
I'm gonna try to. The problem is I gotta go stupid work.
You should be a joker. You should run around going, "Where's Harvey Dent?" at the top of your lungs. anyway, so the movie thing, we don't know. I feel like we knew nothing going in, and we still really don't know anything. So,
yeah,
a couple tidbits, and that was my biggest disappointment, perhaps, of the event. All right, time for some of these right here. World of Tweets.
Tweets, tweets, tweets.
Thank you very much. Greg Street posted a tweet that said, folks freaking out a little too much about this no free customization thing. It's not something we discussed much. Let's wait and see the models. He's referring to the customization changes to the models that are being revamped for the game. There's also a lot of people going, I'm very disappointed you didn't show a female human on stage. In fact, here's one right here.
Yeah, that nerds would say that, wouldn't yeah. they?
And by the way,
where's my female human?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that cracked me up the most, though, is Greg posted that original one about no customization, and immediately all the replies had nothing to do with the topic of what he just posted. It was all about this flying thing again. It's all flying all the time. I don't know what's going on, dude. But you know, a little piece of me, I'm not going to lie, and listeners probably already know this, but a little piece of me is thrilled that that little bomb was dropped on our show. I think that's a fantastic thing. I'm not going to complain at all. In fact, Blizzard, anytime you want to come on and say something controversial, let me know. All right?
Not yeah, a problem. Yeah, we'll get
you back. So here's the tweet. So I have to say, I'm disappointed there are no screenshots of any updated human females. Are they not getting a new character model update soon? Their response? We're still working on many of the character models. They are all up to the Goblin and Worgen getting it. We'll consider Goblin and Worgen too later if it makes sense. Don't panic. Well, what the people think, of course they're going to get done. And the website shows all of them. They only show the three. Oh, there's other things. Somebody said, they're not getting to those until they're done with the Horde. I'm like, are you kidding? Two of them are Alliance that they've shown so far. Only one is Horde. Well, the ones you could play with. So when we went to the playroom and could actually play the game, you could be an orc or you could be a freaking gnome or a dwarf.
Yeah.
I don't know why people think there's orc some Horde the preference only, here. It's weird.
Yeah. Orc was the only Horde side one.
Yeah, so. Horde side.
Yeah. Right.
You say Horde side. I heard Horde side.
Horde side.
Horde side.
Horde side.
Horde side.
Horde side.
There you go. Bunch of Horde sides. That's it for World of Tweets. Let's dig into Town Crier real quick.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
It is the Town Crier. Chance for us to take your calls, your emails, and more. If you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, we can play on the show. 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3969. Or 3WOW if you get those little letters on your hoo-ha. Typefrag.com sponsoring this part of the show. I'm going to thank them as well. Mumble, Ventrilo, whatever you need. 25-man or your new 20-man Mythic Raid team. They need a good vent server. Or a good mumble server. Check them out, typefrag.com. You can also email us, theinstance@gmail.com. That would be zero problem as well. Let's get to your calls. This first one, no good ones. What? Oh, no, I don't have any. You know what? I don't have any calls today.
Except, it was like, yeah, this first one is called no,
no
good ones.
Instead, I have a couple of things that I think are kind of funny. This is Terpster singing.
Celebrate good times. Come on. Oh, stairs there.
All right. There's I don't know what's going on there.
Oops, stairs there.
I was hoping he was going to be here for that. And then secondly, Dill, see if you can guess what this is, all right? This is for this is for you.
Oh, no.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Dill's snoring at BlizzCon in his hotel room. God. And we have Nicole Spag to thank for that quick clip.
God damn it,
Nicole. She sent me a text and she goes, Dill's sleeping over there and he's snoring right now. And I said, I don't believe you. Didn't seem like the snoring type. She whipped out her phone and recorded it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Pretty good, dude.
You know what it is, though? It's when I lay on my back.
Is that it?
Yeah. If I'm on my side, I'm good. If I lay on my back, nope, here it comes.
All right.
It's going to be nasty.
Son, you sleep like I wish I could. That's a pretty intense piece of sleep.
Look,
going
man,
on.
It was BlizzCon. I was tired. I had to get my rest.
Right. You had some Hearthstone to play and watch.
Yeah. Exactly.
You guys stayed up to what, 4 a.m. that one night playing?
The last night, yeah, we stayed up pretty damn late playing some Hearthstone,
yeah,
which I quite enjoyed.
That's good stuff. Do have emails today. We got one from Malpeg who says, amidst the speculation of declining WoW subscriptions and whether WOD or WOD, or I'm just going to call it Warlords from now on, will staunch the decline, I would direct you to the Arena Pass forums. There you will see a growing dissatisfaction of subscribers who participated in the tournament and are still waiting on titles and achievements 13 and a half weeks after the end of the tournament. There hasn't been a blue post in 4 weeks. How can Blizzard expect to get new subscribers when it does such a poor job of taking care of the existing ones? Well, I agree that there needs to be some action there, but you've got to consider, I'm going to make a bold statement about Arena and PvP real quick here. And I could be wrong about this, and I'm happy to be corrected and have discussion about it. I believe in my heart of hearts that on some level, Blizzard regrets the fact that this game has to have PvP and support it. And I say that because, partially because things like this, you see stuff like this and you go, oh, well, clearly it's not a priority at the very least for them to get on that. And specifically with Arena, I just feel like over the last few years, it's just not a thing they really are that concerned about. I feel like there's probably some, not resentment, but there's some built-in sort of, oh, I wish that didn't exist. We don't have to address it. And because they have, you know, tons of other pressing things and quite likely far more player base interested in things they're working on than play Arena. There's a tiny percentage of people who play Arena. That is not to say these people shouldn't be addressed and fixed and taken care of, but I'll bet you that's the reason why.
You think so?
Yeah. I think I've always had this feeling, and I know you like PvP.
Yeah.
And you'll play it here and there.
I really hope that that's not the case, because that would suck.
That would really suck. But I just, there's something in the core of my guts since the day they launched the game and PvP wasn't even in it yet. And they were like, that's coming later with some other patch. I don't remember what patch it was, but I always, from then on, have just felt like, it's like one of those things where you're in a meeting, like, oh, okay, well, we have to have it. So, you know, instead of, ooh, we should have that, it was more of, we have to have it. Because this is Warcraft after all, and you can't have a Warcraft game without some PvP. And, you know, the notions in 2004 about what you had to have in your game versus what you didn't have to have, I think are different than they are now. And would they do it differently? I don't know. I mean, I am 100% happy to bring somebody in from Blizzard who can refute me on this and tell me, no, it's a giant priority for us. I just get the feeling that it's not. So,
I don't know. I think it is. I don't think that's true. I think that they definitely like feel like PvP is a big part of the game. I don't think, you know, it's not the end all be all. And obviously the PvE content gets more updates more often, but, you know, the arena stuff at BlizzCon was more emphasized than the live raids and stuff like that. So
right. Fair enough.
I don't know. I do think that there's definitely like less of an emphasis on PvP than PvE, but I don't think that means that they don't care about it.
All right. Well, let's see what they do with this arena thing, because we agree with the emailer that they need to be, that needs to be taken care of. People don't waste their time if they're not going to get addressed. 13 and a half weeks is quite a ways to wait. They did have BlizzCon, but again, no excuses. They should get back to you. All right. Tom wrote in, not our Tom, different Tom, says, hey, guys, I'm going to read this verbatim. Okay. I'm just going to read it the way it was given to me. I don't like to be the one crying that I'm canceling my subscription. ND, no badout.
Whoops. Space is in the wrong place.
Yeah, something's weird there. I'll at least play it for a month, but I'm wondering what there is to be excited about in Warlords of Draenor. It feels to me there's nothing that changes the way I play from the information that comes out of, from Blizzard. So I don't really understand what's motivating to jump into the new content, especially with 10 levels of leveling to attain very little in the way of cool stuff that makes my character feel much stronger than it was in Pandaria. Love the show. Thanks, Tom. It's a fair question. I mean, for me, it just depends on what motivates you as a player. For me, the following things motivate me. Story motivates me. Seeing new content motivates me. New raid encounters motivate me. Things I can do with my friends motivate me. Mm-hmm. But he's not wrong that there are overall, you know, there's no new class to play. So there's no monk this time or something new.
Sure.
There's no new race to fiddle about with.
I would argue though that most people don't need a new class or race to, because what happens with a new class or race is you either have to re-roll as that thing, or most people I know stayed with their original class, even with the monk.
Yep.
Even, you know, like even when the Death Knight came out, like a very few people jumped ship and then started that new thing. Sure, a lot of people rolled them and played them for a while, maybe even got them all the way up to 90, but that's not high percentage of the people. So
yeah,
if that's what you need, I understand that then this doesn't excite you as much. But 10 new levels of content, new raids, new character models, a bunch of new story stuff, garrisons, new PvP.
Sure.
Boost the fact that you can boost the character to 90. So if you've been out for a couple of expansions, boom, you're back in.
Right.
I don't see a lack of things right now.
Yeah, I think if you were looking on a, just a purely surface level, Myst did have a more of a feature list. Like you could say pet battles, you could say whole new continent, which at the time was a big deal because we hadn't done that yet, or we hadn't done that since Wrath. So that felt like a new thing. New class, new race. Like those all felt like big, sizable, chunky things. This is a return to a familiar place. Even though you're getting a thing that's a place to explore that's new, it's kind of not. I mean, it is, but it will be constructed as new, but it is Outlands or what came before. So there is kind of some of that. They're playing on some of that nostalgia to its strength and to its weakness. It's some people are going to feel like, well, I already know this place. Even though there's water here now, I know what this is going to be, and that somehow lessens it. So I understand how just if you look at a feature for feature and put them both up next to each other, that may seem a little dry. Compared to
if they
Myst.
Put the dance studio in though, Scott, I'm sure Tom would be all over it.
Did you see? So they in the Garrison thing, they showed a dance studio, and then they
really
they went ahead and told everybody it was a joke, so it ain't in there. But they showed some video of the Garrison, and there was like a little dance studio down in the corner.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny. Anyway, I think it will all be interesting, and we'll just have to wait and see before we make any kind of judgments. But I think Tom makes a point that is. I think there's.
I'm sure he's
has
not
a
the
point.
Only one.
Yeah, he has a point.
I'm sure he's not the only one who feels this way because to a lot of people that no new class, no new race, no you know, no like here's a, in addition to the existing game.
Mm-hmm.
When that doesn't exist, it can easily feel like there's less being added to the game. However, I feel like the point of this expansion. And the purpose behind them not doing that stuff is they're like, well, look, the game is actually solid right now. Right. Like all of what we've got in there is pretty good. So let's just give these guys some new awesome stuff to do because like everything else is kind of set.
Yeah.
We got a system in place that works. We got a group of classes that work. We got a group of races that work. That all like the foundation is there. So now let's just really concentrate on continuing the story and improving what's already there, which is, you know, the character models and all that stuff.
Right.
The way the environments look, you know, those types of things are getting the big improvements right now.
Sure.
And, you know, I think if we do get to some really high numbers again, you bet your bottom dollar that we're going to start seeing more classes the next go around.
Yeah, right? I'd be willing to bet that we'll get it quicker too because they don't have a new class to try to balance against all other classes, both in PvE and PvE environments, because that's a big deal. Like, what does that do to rating? What does that what dynamics does that change? All of that stuff is work they don't have to do this time around. Maybe we'll get this expansion quicker than a year later.
Yeah.
After announcement, which is basically what happened last time. Maybe we'll get this in 6 months. Maybe it's this summer instead of next winter. You know, a lot of that stuff seems positive to me. So, anyway, I guess we'll wait and see. Thanks.
God, there's a live stream of the Bat Kid.
What? What's he doing?
Whoa, he's in a Batmobile right now.
Oh,
he's
my gosh.
He's driving through the city.
I want to be Bat Kid.
This is amazing.
Yeah. That Make-A-Wish stuff is amazing.
You know, it looks like they just have like a Tesla
or
something, and they just put like a bat logo on the front of it.
That's great. Whatever it takes, man.
Yeah.
If I'm a kid, that's good enough.
Hell yeah.
Dill, that's exciting, man. That would never make you sound like this. Ever again.
Nope. It would not put me to sleep. It would wake my ass,
right? All right. Let's, drop of the week.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week brought to you by Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com, making it easy for you to build an online portfolio, a website, a blog, a store, whatever you need. They got all the e-commerce tools you need and so much more. And it's real simple. All you got to do is go over there. No credit card needed. Sign up for an account. Check it out. Play around. Build something. Be impressed by the responsive design features. Be impressed by their templates, which are adding new ones to all the time. And if you decide to keep it, which I think you will, use the code INSTANCE11 at checkout. That'll get you 20% off any package at squarespace.com. That's INSTANCE11 at squarespace.com. All right. Warlords of Draenor and the absence of Agra. So Thrall's wife. Mother to his children. Nowhere to be seen. Not since some freaking cataclysm business. Have we even seen what's going on? We don't know what's happening on the home front with poor Agra. What would her last name be now? What's Thrall's last name? Do you have a last name? Thrall Johnson.
Thrall Johnson?
Yeah, Thrall and Agra Johnson. Yeah. The Andersons living up the street.
It's true. Yeah, where the hell is Agra?
Well, doing? I found a great article on WoW Insider. Our friends at WoW Insider put this great article talking about how Blizzard might be missing an opportunity to discuss one of their lore heroes in a brand new context, which is as, you know, supporter of Thrall, of course, but as mother. And they've never really played with some of those themes. Mm-hmm. And this is a really, this is an article written by Ann Stickney. And I found it really just interesting to look at kind of like video games and what female protagonists, how they're treated in games and how they could be treated in games and how no one ever explores this more maternal side of women in games. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the paternal side with Anduin and his dad and with Arthas and his dad and a lot of dad stuff going on. There's many dad themes throughout this game, very few mother themes. And they think it should be explored more. She's a warrior, she's a fighter, and she's a mother. Like this, you know, where is this great counterpart to Thrall in the lore? And it's a fascinating read. So I recommend people check it out. We'll put it in the show notes and read up. You'll like it. It's great. It's totally cool.
Yeah, I'm checking it out right now. It looks really cool.
Yeah. I like it.
I would like to know more about her as well. Yeah. She seemed pretty badass. She was, in Cataclysm.
She was. And we could use more like her. I mean, Jaina Proudmoore is really our only female protagonist in this game, sort of. I mean, there's other stuff, but I can't count Undead Lady because what is she now? She's she's nothing now.
Yeah.
She's just crazy. She's going to destroy everything if people aren't careful.
Sylvanas.
But I, you know, I like it. I feel like Jaina in the books, there's a lot more meat to her there, but there's also just kind of a two-dimensionality to her in the game. And I just feel like there could be more, more female stuff explored in there. So check it out. Linked in the show notes. Big thanks and ups to the WoW Insider. It was great to meet a lot of those guys, by the way, over the last weekend. No contest today, but watch the Twitter feed later this afternoon. I'm going to give away some Hearthstone keys. I've got a bunch of generous folks giving those out. Of course, the Angry Chickens often has those as well. So your chances of getting keys these days are better and better. They're also sending out more and more beta keys in general. So that's
good. Also getting real close to open beta. We're not far off.
Yep. Big thanks to GameTimeZone.com, where you can use the code WARCRAFT for 5% off any game time at GameTimeZone.com. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is it.
Vote for us. That's the show.
Yeah, that's it. Vote for us at the Podcast Awards at PodcastAwards.com. It's your last day to do it. Let's see if we can get the instance to win a trophy at this year's event in Vegas in January. And that's all I have.
Wait, business. Do we know if we win before the thing or do we?
I think we do. No, they announce it there. I'm sorry.
They announce it there?
Yeah, I went last year and they do it while they're up there on stage.
Oh,
so
my God.
Okay. I know, right? It's crazy.
See, that just seems to me like I'm not going to go to Vegas and then not win. That would suck.
That's what I did last year. I went and I didn't win.
You went and then didn't win?
Well, you know, I've won in the past. The Instance has won twice before. App Slappy won once. Extra Life Radio won something back in the day. So I've had the trophies are sitting right over there, in fact. But, you know, I've never last year I said, you know what? I'm not going to ask for any votes. We got nominated, but I didn't ask for anything. It's like, nah,
yeah.
But it's the kind of voting system that if you want to win,
yeah, you got to ask you.
So
yeah.
This year I went crazy and asked every day on TMS, asked on FilmSack, like it's ask all the time, 24/7. So we're trying to rig the deal. So we win everything. So go vote for us.
I'll tweet it out too then.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
We'll actually try.
Get some of those Hearthstone heads out there more interested in what's going on. All right, that's it. Speaking of Hearthstone, the Angry Chicken, any stuff you want to tell us? New show, when's that coming out? What's going on?
We will be recording. We record every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Mm-hmm. And we soon will be having some devs, I think, from Blizzard are potentially coming on at some point. We're trying to sort that out. So
great.
If you want to hear straight from the horse's mouth, We'll be trying to make that happen. We're also trying to get some other guests on, some more like high level players, some people who also are doing other podcasts about the show, stuff like that. So
great.
A lot of exciting stuff. I mean, it's a whole brand new scene with this whole Hearthstone game and thing. So
yep.
lots of stuff coming up. So check that out. What is it? amove.tv/TAC is the place to find that.
There you go. It's up there now. And your favorite podcatching thing like iTunes or whatever, you'll find it there as well.
Yeah, you'll find all that stuff there too. Yeah.
Great. Of course, Willie Dill's on Twitter.
That's right.
Never did hear back from Terpsers. Check my texts. Nope, zip, nothing. Blame the damn British, man. Sheesh. That's it. I think that's it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'll be live streaming some PS4 action if I can get my streaming thing to work with it. So,
If you want to watch me play Hearthstone or World of Warcraft, which I did last night, check out my Twitch channel as well, which is Willie Dills SF.
Nice. I forgot to. Kind of a BlizzCon sum up episode of The Instance TV can be found at theinstance.net/TV. You can watch that as well. We kind of just sum up what happened at the event, and you can get a good look at what we saw. That's it for us. Matthew Oxley does our theme music. He's going to be working on a new one to match the new Draenor theme. I'm totally stoked about that. Leave us your reviews on iTunes, other podcast directories. We love that. Thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern. Forums, show notes, which he works on, archives, and more can be found at theinstance.net. On Twitter, find us at Instance Show for the show. Scott Johnson for me, Willie Dills for Dills, and the_T for Terpster on Facebook /TheInstance. Find more great shows just like this at TheInstance. What am I saying? More shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, and for Dills, and for the magically disappearing Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Go back, kid. Get him.
Get him, boy.
Celebrate good times. Come on. Oh, stairs there.
Broken promise causes problems for leader. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. Vol'jin's drive to unseat Garrosh Hellscream has brought hope of change to millions in the Horde, and his cry of, "We gonna do this, Mon," has become a rebellion battle yell. But now a promise of a different sort has come back to haunt the troll leader. Earlier this year, when a negotiated settlement with Hellscream still appeared possible, Vol'jin had reassured orc, troll, and goblin alike that if they liked their existing Horde, they would be able to keep it. But as it has become clear that the only path forward is Garrosh's total defeat, some in the rebellion have begun grumbling that Vol'jin is set on dumping all that was the Horde on the ashcan of history and accuse him of breaking his promise. Today in Razor Hill, Vol'jin responded to the accusations. I quote, and please forgive my difficulties with the troll accent. "'Tis true that I want to create a new Horde, one where everyone down to the lowliest peon is treated with honor and respect. In Garrosh's Horde, the mighty look down with contempt at anyone they deem weaker. His Horde craves only power, not honor. If you want to keep that Horde, I won't stop you. Just walk into Orgrimmar and fight for Garrosh. But know this, we be coming for you. We gonna do this, man. I promise." End quote. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Epic Diapers.
It's Six back with episode 44 of Epic Diapers. The new expansion to WoW, Warlords of Draenor, was announced, and of course I'm quite excited about some of the efficiency and flexibility they are adding to the game, especially for those of us who don't have much time to play. I'm particularly excited about garrisons, which will give you access to followers as your garrison grows over 3 tiers. These followers will be able to go on missions to get you epic gear and materials, along with your expanded farm creating more materials. You get a free 90, and you get a free 90, and everyone who buys the expansion gets a free level 90. I'd hold off on leveling your lowest alt and wait for the expansion to boost said alt, or even a new level 1 to 90. I wish they'd add a 12 character slot though, since my best boost would only be from level 81. Blizzard also hinted that they may offer additional level 90 boosts for purchase. The reason that they should do this is because some players out there will just purchase additional expansions for more than one account, then transfer those boosted 90s over to the main account. Might as well make it more efficient. More bag space. Blizzard will be increasing stack sizes of mini-mats to 100 and putting tabards, quest item, heirlooms, and toys into a collection, saving dozens and dozens of bag slots. You'll also be able to craft from items in your bank, so you can dump mini-mats into your bank and craft from them anywhere in the world. You can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers and check out my blog at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. Because of BlizzCon's reveal of Warlords of Draenor, we'll revisit the concept of alternate timelines. Often when you think of alternate timelines, you think of what-ifs. In the case of Warlords, it goes, what if Garrosh made it so then the orcs didn't drink Manaroth's blood? The possible physics behind alternate timelines is weirder than that. It's based on observation. The realm of quantum physics is very different than our own macro world. One thing is the exact position of particles is not defined until observed. If a particle has a 50% chance at being at location A or location 1, what's not to say both happen? That's the concept behind alternate timelines, that those particles appear at both possible locations. And this happens no matter the probability ratio or how many possible locations that particle can appear in. They all happen. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com. And always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Oh, Luger the Mage here, doing the legwork so you don't have to. As fun as the Isle of Purple Loot of the wrong spec is, I need a break. Let's face it, a mage only needs so many pairs of leather pants. Super hint, we need no pairs of leather pants. So, let's move into the Siege of Orgrimmar. The last boss of the first wing of the siege is the Shaw of Pride. Now, depending on what mode you down him in, you have a chance at a different pet. You know, if the RNG is with you, and it so is with you. Anyway, on Flex and LFR modes, you can get the Gooey Shawling, while on Normal mode, you can get the Droplet of your Sage. Both pets are elementals that remember Shaw mobs found throughout Pandaria, though the Droplet is a bit more purple than the Shawling, and they're worth trying for. Both have different movesets with very little overlap. And yes, guys, you can get them on your bonus rolls. Well, back to raiding. And not getting the drop again.
If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohemulone. In this episode, I want to talk a bit about the November Brew of the Month, Bartlett's Bitter Brew. I found it a bit coincidental that this was in my mailbox yesterday because I am in fact preparing to brew a style of beer known as a bitter. But there are three bitters in the recognized style. Ordinary, Special, and Best Bitter. Each are similar, but as they progress, they have a bit more alcohol by volume, have more malt complexities, and gain a little bit more in bitterness. But don't be fooled by the name bitter. They're actually not all that bitter. Because they come from the UK, they're again very bread, toast, or biscuit-like in flavor, and the British hops used in the beer give some nice earthy undertones. So which bitter is Bartlett's bitter? The flavor text reads that it's not for the weak of stomach. This suggests that it isn't an ordinary bitter, as these sessionable beers are very low in alcohol. When I drank it in-game, I only received notification that I was feeling a little tipsy, so I ruled out Best Bitter because I don't think it contained the appropriate alcohol levels, so I narrowed it down to a Special Bitter. Special bitters are quite common across pubs in the UK, more ordinary than even ordinary bitters. They're easy to have a few pints and share with friends. For Bartlett's, you can really share this brew with them. In fact, if you happen to vomit on a player after drinking this beer, they too will become nauseous and keep spreading the love. Thanks for listening to Fermenting Azeroth. Follow me on Twitter at Ferment Azeroth or visit the site fermentingazeroth.podbean.com.
Well, welcome to the instance. I'm Terpster, and I really don't have anything to say, but I'm going to talk and talk and talk in such a way that no one will be able to get a word in edgewise, because while I'm doing that, my mind will be like cogitating in the background on what opinion I could possibly have. Maybe something from the depths of my brilliance, but, you know, I want to be sure that I get it out. So, but before I do that, I'm going to just say a lot of rubbish and rubbity rubbish and just keep going and not let anyone say a word, because if they did, I would never get to talk again, because they all know better than to let me keep going if I've stopped. Or, you know, it's like it's a thing that I do in order to appear more intelligent than I really am.
Welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Vixorcus, Draenei Paladin and Lore Master of the Archives. The library will be closing for renovations for a few weeks, but before it does, I will conclude the tale of Grommash Hellscream. Years after the Second Great War, where the Orcish Horde was led into Azeroth by the warlock Gul'dan under the influence of the Burning Legion, Grom and his Warsong clan were stranded on the outskirts of human civilization, when a young orc named Thrall escaped captivity and sought Grom's guidance. Thrall became warchief and led the new horde from Lordaeron to Kalimdor. But as they began to cull the forests of Ashenvale to build settlements, they encountered the Night Elves and Cenarius, who resisted these newcomers to their lands. Grom and his clan believed themselves free from the influence of demons, but the Pit Lord Manaroth had other ideas. He filled a fountain in Ashenvale with his own blood, the very same that drove the orcs to bloodlust on Draenor, and when Grom and his troops discovered the fountain, despite warnings from Thrall, they drank from it and succumbed again to their bloodlust in the Legion's influence. The leaders of the Horde subdued Grom, and with the aid of Jaina Proudmoore, released him from the blood curse. Freed again from Manaroth's will, Grom, joined by Thrall, went to confront the demon in Ashenvale. Thrall, wielding Orgrim Doomhammer's eponymous mace, could not harm Manaroth. The Pit Lord laughed and taunted Grom that the same cursed blood flowed through their veins. Enraged, Grom sank his battle axe Gorehell deep into Manaroth's breastplate. Manaroth unleashed a last inferno of fellfire as he died, mortally wounding Grom, who died in Thrall's arms, the blood curse gone at last. It was Manaroth's taunting of his father that made Garrosh Hellscream so determined never to fall prey to the same influence. Unfortunately, his hubris is what led ultimately to his own downfall. Until next we meet, may the light embrace you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter or listen to past episodes at azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Hey everyone, it's Aludra and Ben, and we're back from BlizzCon.
And we brought a guest with us.
He's not here.
Quiet, Aludra, they don't know that.
But they'll get mad.
Shh! More people will come if they think we have Tom Merritt. And Pi! Tom Merritt and Pi!
We don't have Pi either.
So join us for episode 35 of Battle Pets, BlizzCon Wrap-Up, with Tom Merritt and Pi!
Ben, I'm not going to be held responsible for the angry letters.
We don't get letters, we get email. You're silly.
Anyways... make sure to find us at battlepet.net, iTunes, and Stitcher. And remember, that's Ben making the promises, not Aludra.
Hi.
And Tom Merritt.
Hey, you did it!
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what will become of me if my beloved continent of Kalimdor merges with the Eastern Kingdoms? I realize there has been much talk lately of mergers. Allow me to educate you about this process. A merger is a joining of entities to the mutual benefit of both. Usually, this is in a business area and would be managed by goblins. Now, I realize that goblin business acumen is legendary, but have you ever seen some of those silly gadgets they build? I would be afraid to wear goblin armor in case it blew up while I was in it. Even if the goblins could build an earth mover large enough to move a continent, it would probably fall apart before they started. So don't worry, Kalimdor is not going anywhere. Unless a big blizzard causes the continents to drift. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there! We'll be right back.